Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. It is Monday, and on Mondays we talk NASCAR with Rod Mullins, our NASCAR reporter. The NASCAR series is in Virginia for the next couple of weeks. Yesterday in Richmond, a Virginia native, Denny Hamlin, gets the win at RIR. And Rod, his first win in a next-gen car. And Hamlin had been struggling to this point this season. A big win for Denny.
Yeah, a big win for Denny. Seven different winners on the season so far, seven different drivers. You know, I think this kind of spoke for itself right here. Denny Hamlin needed this race probably more than any of the other drivers that were out there trying to prove themselves. Well, maybe with the exception of Kevin Harvick. You know, Harvick is still in his winless streak as of right now. He'd like nothing more than just to have a big win. But we still hadn't seen, I think, a very dominating or at least a great Denny Hamlin come about until yesterday in this race at Richmond. And for him to finally notch his first win of 2022, you know, I think I called it last week. I said that, you know, it would be a great place for Denny Hamlin to be able to pick up his first win. You know, it's right there next door, Chesterfield, not very far from Richmond International Raceway. He had a home crowd behind him. Didn't hear a whole lot of boos after the race was over with. I think everybody was cheering for Denny Hamlin with that. But still, there was some controversy involved in this race. A lot of things going on. You know, I think probably one of the big things that kind of jumped out at me was, of course, Kyle Busch getting the black flag right there. It happened at an inopportune time for him. And then also the story coming out about Kurt Busch. And Kurt Busch saying that right now, the 2311 team is at a disadvantage with all the other teams that are out there on the track. He says they're still stuck back in 2021 and everybody else is in 2022 with this new next generation car. Now, I don't know where Kurt Busch is coming from with this. Maybe it's something they've not been able to, you know, wrap their head around yet or wrap their hands around to be able to fix this problem. But when Kurt Busch starts complaining about a car this early in the season, you know, there's got to be something up. And Bubba Wallace has been running really well. But Kurt Busch came into this, you know, he just says, you know, he was talking about Trackhouse Racing. That's where he came from originally with Chip Ganassi. And he just said Trackhouse is head and shoulders above where we are right now. So it doesn't say, you know, a very good thing to Denny Hamlin and Michael Jordan with this race team right now, and they're struggling. Of course, you know, Bubba's had some good runs so far on the season, but yeah, I don't know. It's kind of strange hearing that. Kurt's been kind of quiet. Kurt has kind of toned himself down in the last few years, not really getting very vocal about things because, you know, he's gone into some anger management and different things like that, but kind of different for him to just unload like he did.
What's the sense of the truth there? Is it the race team? Is it engineering? Or, I mean, the fact that one of his teammates, Bubba Wallace, is running has been running well consistently this season, is it more just driver? I mean, what is your sense of this?
It could be driver. I think it could be him trying to, you know, adjust to this new car. I really can't say engineering because all these cars are supposed to be even. All these cars, the engine parts, everything in the car is supposed to be exactly the same for Ford, Chevy, and Toyota. There's not supposed to be any differences. If anybody does anything with it, then, of course, you're going to get fined out of it for playing around with the parts and cheating and so forth. But everything is on the up and up. It may be the race team. The race team may still be stuck in some kind of mode to where they think that, you know, still the car like it is. But when you go like yesterday, and I think what surprised me was this, we had been expecting 12-second pit stops. And I think yesterday somebody turned, who was it? Was it Hamlin or somebody in Joe Gibbs Racing turned a 9-second pit stop. That floored me. I was just impressed with that. That just goes to show you that even though Joe Gibbs Racing has been behind the eight ball, so to speak, early on in this season, they're starting to make some strides. I think they're starting to pick up. And where better to be able to pick up and make some strides at a short track and especially at Richmond. But, you know, Joe Gibbs has struggled as well. The Toyotas have struggled this year. Chevrolet has been, I wouldn't say dominant. to a certain degree, but you know, Chevrolet's had some good advantage, which brings me to another thing. You know, Denny Hamlin's still on that soapbox about feeling that NASCAR has no business partnering with Rick Hendrick and Hendrick Motorsports on a car they're going to try to race in the 24-hour of Le Mans here coming up soon. And he says, you know, that doesn't send a good, very good signal. Well, I understand that, but you know, if you're NASCAR, you're wanting to put a race team or a car into the show, you're wanting to go with the team that's been the most consistent here as of late. And I think Hendrick is probably the most consistent. And I know people are going to say over and over that this bunch, they cheat. You got Chad Knaus. Chad Knaus is one of the kings of cheating. I've heard that before from a lot of other people. They said Jeff Gordon cheated. Jimmy Johnson cheated. They've even gotten to the point now where Chase Elliott, William Byron, you know, the whole works, they're all cheating. I don't believe that. I just think it's just consistency on the part of Hendrick Motorsports that has just spoken volumes to NASCAR and just said, hey, look, we're going to give it a shot and see what we can do with this. And it also puts NASCAR on a world stage. It takes away from this Southern sport. And we might see, who knows, 5-10 years down the road, we might be looking at something else. I know they've experimented with Mexico City before and ran the Xfinity series down there and on a couple of tracks down there, road courses. But, you know, they're already looking at St. Petersburg, Florida as a possibility of a road course. They may be looking at Nashville before it's over with as a road course, even though they're trying to get the Super Speedway or the old Fairground Speedway back. They could be looking at Nashville, but I think it's probably going to be a St. Petersburg, maybe another one in California, who knows? But, you know, a lot of stuff come out this past weekend and really in the past week about what's been going on with NASCAR, period, in general, behind the scenes.
I wanted to get back to that Kyle Busch black flag for just a second. That was one of those fun ones, just a rules issue. And it seemed like the Busch team acknowledged it even before, or maybe not before necessarily, but as NASCAR caught it. It was a piece of tape on the front grill that was just out of place. Isn't that right?
Yeah, that's what it looked like to me. I saw the picture of it and it looked like a piece of tape that was just not in the place where it was supposed to be.
So, yeah, but that obviously threw him off as far as that goes. Getting back to Denny Hamlin, who got the win, William Byron had a good run and had the lead for a good part of this race, different parts of this race, and they had a nice duel down the stretch.
Yeah, they did. William Byron has really started to hit his stride, I think, a little bit more this season than what he had in previous races last season. I think William Byron's going to definitely be the star along with Alex Bowman. You know, he finished eighth on the race yesterday. Kyle Larson finished in fifth place. You know, the Chevrolets didn't finish too bad. They did finish in the top 10. At least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the Chevrolets finished in the top 10. Byron being the highest finisher of that whole bunch. Kyle Larson being the next one, then Alex Bowman, then Austin Dillon. Chase Elliott, though, still continues to lead the point spread right now, the points as they go down through here. But Chase Elliott finished 14th yesterday. Now, he was running. You know, I don't know. This is another thing, too. We've talked about the Wonder Boy from Dawsonville, Georgia, and we've talked about Bill Elliott's son a lot and what's it going to take for him to get back in the winner's circle. I don't know at this point. I don't know if you heard the F-bomb tirade on one of the radio things about what he tore loose on his crew about Alan Gustafson and the rest of the race team, saying, you know, if this is the kind of car you're going to prep me for every week, you know, we might as well just quit while we're ahead. I mean, the frustration starting to set in with him, even though he is leading the point standings.
And what else was I going to get into here? Yeah, that was the F-bomb tirade, as you call it. That was interesting. So, on a track like Richmond, a lot of strategy was at play at different parts of the race, the different stages, particularly with do I get new tires? Do I try to stay on the track? And actually, Hamlin worked himself back into contention in the second stage by kind of playing the tire thing and declining to get a pit. Isn't that right? He declined to go get tires and stayed out there a little longer, got himself a lead. It kept getting closer and closer as that stage was playing out, but that's what got him really back in the race.
Yeah, it was. But here's the thing. He knows that track. He knows how that car is starting to perform right now. The thing that's scary about that is when you get a driver that's out there on the track and they're unsure of how that track holds, how it holds heat, how it sticks to the racetrack, the tires stick to the racetrack. Denny Hamlin pretty well knows how that track works. And for him, he was going to run as long as he could with what he had. And he had decent tires. He had good tires that kind of held him out for as long as he needed to. And then kind of like that joke in Days of Thunder and stuff, special tires. Well, that's what he was running on, those special tires right there toward the end. And then he goes and he makes his stop in the pits and he gets brand new tires and he's almost unstoppable after that point. And so it's a tribute, I guess you could say, more so to the driver himself and being able to know what's going on with his car exactly the way that he did. Because, you know, a lot of these drivers, it's been said before, a lot of these drivers just slide in, get in the seat, buckle up, and they drive and they don't know enough about the inner workings of their car, or they don't feel what that car is all about. Now, you know, the place that's going to cause them trouble coming up here is going to be Martinsville, which is coming up this week. And then after that, we've got Bristol. And you can't adjust to dirt. You have to go and drive the best you can and hold that car, get it at a good speed and hold it as you go into the turns, or that car is going to lift on you. It's going to start spinning around. If it does, we're going to have wrecks all over the place at Bristol. But I think, you know, that's one of the things they're going to be looking at going into this next series. This is the short track part of the schedule so far. And Richmond was kind of a first short track experiment. So now we're going on to Martinsville this coming week. And that's going to be an interesting one, too, because Dale Earnhardt Jr. is going to be driving under the lights at Martinsville this coming weekend. And then they're going to get ready to race under the lights at Bristol on dirt coming up in about 2 weeks.
One more thing from Richmond before we then get back into Martinsville. Ryan Blaney, he led the whole first stage, first 128 laps overall, but just not his day at the end.
No, it wasn't. But, you know, there was some kind of honor that Team Penske had kind of bestowed on him, something I think for laps or something, where he fell into a category or something on laps. And Ryan Blaney's just an all-around nice guy. Very quiet. Gets upset, though, you know, like any other driver would get out there on the track. But, you know, give him his time. Give him his time. I think a little bit of time, you know, the Fords, I think, are still playing some catch up. There's no other way I can say it. Even though I know that you had Chase Briscoe winning a race here a couple of weeks ago, I think the Fords are still trying to play catch up to some of the Chevrolets. And now the Toyotas have seemed to just all of a sudden vaulted over top of the Chevrolets and gone to the lead right here in how these cars performed on Saturday up there. Toyota seems to be a car that's more built for short track or intermediate track racing more so than they are super speedway. And I think that's when you start to see Chevrolet and Ford really take a difference. It's almost like putting a Volkswagen up against a 350 Chevrolet engine and a truck running full blast out on Talladega. You know that the poor Volkswagen's not even going to make it. They're going to get snookered and smoked in that first lap trying to keep up with that car.
So let's go back to Martinsville. First question I got for you is, I'm looking at the weather forecast. It's good from a no rain standpoint, but race start is a Saturday night race, as you mentioned, and it starts at 7:30. It'll be around 50 degrees checkered flag time there. What kind of impact will that have on the racers?
Well, cars are going to be cold. They'll be running in a lot of cold air. That kind of is an advantage at one thing about heating things up a whole lot, because, you know, those tires, the calipers are going to be the ones that's going to suffer the most going into those turns and everything, running full blast and hitting the brake as you go into the turns. That's going to help a little bit. I think what's going to hurt them more than anything else is when that sun goes down or that sun is down, they're going to have to establish and keep some heat in those tires in order for them to be able to make it around the track. If not, we're going to see a lot of loose cars. We're going to see people spinning out as they go into turns because they just don't have enough heat built up into those tires to be able to hold on the track. So, you know, anybody's guess what's going on. Concrete, you know, you've got concrete there in the turns between 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, and then you have straightaway, you have pavement. Now, the concrete doesn't hold a lot of heat, so that's where the advantage is going to have to be of these guys keeping these tires hot and also keeping an eye on these tires, because just what they don't need at this point, tires blowing out, something happening to the tires, and then they'll have to go to the pits, maybe get down a lap or two or three before they're able to get back into it, and then they're going to have to race like gangbusters just to get back up here to the front and hope for a lucky dog pass or something like that. So it's going to pose some problems for them. I think that's what they're probably anticipating with this, the cold weather and cool weather, we'll say. It's supposed to be, like you said, somewhere around starting in the 50s, but I predict it's probably going to get down in the 40s, maybe even the upper 30s by the time this race is over with. So, you know, they've raced there before in that type of situation, but they've raced actually more so of daytime going into night. At that point, they've had some long races like this. This is actually going to be a night race. So they're going to have to be able to keep that heat in those tires in order to keep them around track, or there's going to be a spectacle in racing of wrecks and everything else and tires blown on the weekend up there.
So, you know, I know that it's the first time for the new car on this track. So we don't have a lot of history in that sense, no history in that sense, but who historically runs well here? Who can we look for to be probably among the leaders on Saturday night?
Hendrick always runs well. Hendrick has always made it a point that it's a personal thing when they go to Martinsville because of the plane crash and things that happened here several years ago with Ricky Hendrick and the company and everybody else, the engine builder at the time with Hendrick Motorsports. So they always take that kind of personal. This is their track, the way that they feel about it. Sometimes they've not been as successful, but they really want to show everybody what they're capable of. Wouldn't be surprised. You might see William Byron again running a very good race in this one. Wouldn't be surprised to also see Alex Bowman. I think Alex Bowman probably is going to run up toward the front. Chase Elliott likes a short track. He loves short track racing. I think he could be also up there. And Kyle Larson, he came down here to Bristol for two nights, Friday and Saturday night, during the Dirt Nationals that they had down here. And it was kind of like giving him a little bit of preparation before he went to Richmond to kind of get him ready for the short track and how it was going to be. He finished fifth. I'm not going to complain about that. It's a good finish for him overall, but the more short track record or short track experience that he gets and he can record, yeah, he's going to be better off. And I think Martinsville will be another good one. He's already got some Bristol under his, under his seat right now and so forth with that driving here a couple of weeks ago. So we're going to see what happens. Hendrick is usually strong. Martin Truex is very strong at Martinsville. He has shown some people that he loves that track. He loves to race. Kyle Busch, if Kyle Busch doesn't get black flagged, he could have a good race. He's going to – I just anticipate him just almost to the point of knocking anybody out of the way and so forth and just saying, if we're going to play by the rules, then we're going to play by my rules. And that is, I'm going to get to the front and I'm going to get ahead of all of you before it's over with. So we'll just have to wait and see. It's anybody's, you know, like I said, we've had seven different winners so far on the season. It could be anybody's race this coming Saturday.
And of course, we're getting closer and closer every day to racing. You talked about this earlier, racing under the lights and on the dirt in Bristol on the following Saturday night. What's the latest there? You mentioned some more running there, guys getting some testing and that kind of thing. What's the latest about Bristol coming up in a couple of weeks?
Well, Bristol is all anxious, and I think they're ready. Of course, they had the Dirt Nationals for the past 2 weeks. They've had some of the top names in dirt running there on the track. One guy walked away, I think, on Saturday night, if I'm not mistaken. I can find out here real quick, but I think he walked away with a $50,000 grand prize is what he walked away with from there at Bristol. And it was just a great race altogether with that team. They came out there. Scott Blomquist, he's been on the circuit before racing on dirt. He was there racing the other night. But, they had some really, really good racing there on the dirt the other night at Bristol. And I think it's even going to set it up. And matter of fact, here's the guy's name. It was Chris Madden. He led every lap on the Friday night race of the late model feature to score a $50,000 paycheck at the Carl Customs Bristol Dirt Nationals. And so you had some other drivers that participated in this. Some of these guys, these are the guys that make racing fun at these small tracks everywhere around the country. And, for them to be able to race at Bristol, have to have an experience for them. And they talked about how Bristol was, you know, it was one of the most difficult tracks that they'd been on and everything with dirt, but hey, it had been an experience and they loved it and they couldn't wait to come back again.
First thing I think of when I hear about somebody winning a bonus like that is when I was growing up, my uncle Bougie would run at the Eastside Speedway up here in Waynesboro. And if he'd win on a Friday or Saturday night, that meant we got steak that night.
Yep.
We'd take everybody out for a steak dinner at the Bonanza. And I was just thinking, I'm sure that $50,000 bonus, at least some of it got spent that night in a good way, hopefully.
Yeah, I'd say so. And yeah, you're right about that. You know, going to the steakhouse and eating big. Yeah, that when you get one of those tickets and stuff and you get one of those checks given to you, yeah, you're going to make sure you're going to take care of your crew because they are the ones that got you there to where you're at. You know, if you lose, I'm sorry, it's Dollar Tree and those cheap dollar, or I should say a dollar and a quarter steaks now is what they used to have there. That's what you're going to be fixing. And, you know, steak is a steak, but you know what the quality is between a very good steak and a dollar and a quarter steak. So
there's a saying about the tough as a $2 steak kind of thing. So yeah, the good steak on a Saturday night versus the tough steak. Yeah, that's right. Well, that's good news from there. Well, Rod, I know you'll be at Bristol for us in a couple of weeks, but in the meantime, thank you for your time, your insight today. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
Appreciate it, Chris. Thanks.